In our exposition of Numbers, we find ourselves now at Kadesh Barnea, on the very frontiers of the land of Canaan. Numbers chapter 13, in which we have the record of the searching out of the land and the initial reports that come back to the people of Israel. We've already read in our reading the portion that is before us. It is verses 1 through 20. But let's reread verses 17 through 20. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, "Go, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. And see the land what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. In this passage, beloved, the Lord Jehovah most kindly encourages his people. He most kindly encourages his people by giving them at least through 12 representatives who go in and spy out the land of Canaan and bring back a report after 40 days, he gives them eyes and ears into home. Home for the nation that has been so far away from home for so, so very long. So long that generations have risen and declined. Many of those generations under the lash and the brutal fist of the Egyptian taskmasters. But God had made a promise to Father Abraham, saying, "I'm going to bless you, I'm going to multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven." Try to count them, Abraham. Or as the sand that is by the seashore, so shall your seed be. And they will enter this land, Abraham, where you are living as a nomad in tents, together with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of promise. And now they are on the very cusp of going into that land. They are at Kadesh Barnea, on the very hinterland of Canaan. And God would encourage his people by giving them a preview through these 12 spies, a preview of the promised land, an earnest of good things to come, that they may believe and courageously go and take it. But it's more than encouragement. It's a test. A test of faith. Let us consider this passage under two points. Preview unto possession. Preview unto possession. Second, probation, that's a word, young people, that means testing, a time of testing. Probation, then possession. Preview unto possession, then probation after. Afterwards, possession. "Send thou men, Moses, that they may search the land of Canaan." which I give unto the children of Israel. Now, what does that presuppose, young people? If he says he's going to give something, that means he actually possesses that which he is going to give. And we know that possession is 9/10 of the law, but God has 10/10. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It is God's prerogative to divide humanity. We read in the end of Deuteronomy that Moses said that the Lord divided the earth according to the boundaries of his people. Or Paul in Acts 17, when he is speaking before the philosophers on Mars Hill, he says that God has determined the times before appointed and the boundaries of men's habitations that they might seek the Lord. Everyone has a place. You like your room tidy, young people? Well, you've got to follow the principle. A thing for every place and a place for everything. Well, God has assigned these different places for the different peoples of the earth. Now, the land of Canaan, what is sometimes called Palestine, sometimes called the Levant, it's a fertile area between Egypt on the southwest and Mesopotamia, modern-day Iraq and Iran on the northeast. He has promised to give this land to Abraham. He actually lived there, but he wouldn't give it to Abraham in his days because he said to him, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. God is a patient God. And he lets these Amorites live in this special land which belongs to the Lord, as the whole earth belongs to him, but they provoke him. They violate his law. That is to say, the law written on their hearts, which is not fundamentally different than the moral law, as we've heard it taught in our recent catechism classes. They committed gross idolatry. Even in the days of Father Abraham, so long ago, some of the most shocking, revolting things that spring from idolatry. And dear friends, that's always the fruit of idolatry. When man's relationship with God goes wrong, whenever he gives himself over to false religion or irreligion, it doesn't matter what kind, it always brings forth the sewage of the worst depravity. And that only increased through the ages. And finally, we are reaching the time in God's providence when Israel will inherit the land promised, and these sinners will be expelled, because at the end of the day, they're squatters on God's land. And that's a lesson. All land is God's. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. And the earth he has given to the children of men. But they remain there by his grace and his kindness. As they abuse it, they forfeit the right to be there. And so we see again and again, such as in Psalm 37. Yes, on the earth there is a mixture of men, the godly and the godless, but it's not always going to be that way. The meek shall inherit the earth. But there will be a day when you will go, my children, and you will look for the place of the wicked, and you will not find it. That's the background. That's the background. And if you're living on God's land, don't think that just because you're baptized and have the Word of God, that you will always have the privilege. Because Israel sure didn't. When she walked contrary to her God, he walked contrary to her, and he expelled her from the good land. Do not become God's enemy. In him you live and move and have your being. You have blessings in abundance. And especially you, dear friends, you have gospel blessings. But if you sin against those, God will root you out of the earth. He will strip you out of the land of the living. And with the increasing clarity of the New Testament, we know that when he casts these sinners into the grave, that that grave is infinitely deep, where the worm dies not, where the fire is not consumed. You don't have a right to what God gives you. But at his pleasure, you live and move and have your being in this world. But if you abuse his patience, your rights will be forfeited. First, as we are considering now, preview unto possession. Unbeknownst to the Amorites, unbeknownst to the Canaanites, there is this nation that is amassed at their borders. No satellites and drones in those days. And it is time for them to go forward. The Lord will stimulate the faith of his people. I have given you the land. Now go and search it. Now, they will not all see. There's more to be said. We're soon going to expand what actually happens. But they're not going to see it now, but through the lenses of 12 witnesses. Through the lenses of 12 witnesses, they will bear witness, they will see, they will experience, they will search it high and low. They will go south, they will go up to the mountain. They will see whether the people that dwell therein are strong or weak, what the land is, whether it be good or bad. They're going to engage in reconnaissance. But not so much for tactical reasons as to stimulate their faith. Those who would see would testify to what they saw, and the rest would, or at least should, believe. And when God gives evidence, he always gives enough. In fact, God often gives more than enough evidence. Why? Why do we find it so hard to believe? What have I done? Have I been skimping? The Lord will ensure them that this reconnaissance team, 12 men from each one of their tribes, would give a very reliable testimony. First of all, it wouldn't just be one or two. Not even three. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. But 12! 12 pairs of eyes. 24 in all, if my math is right these days. 24 ears. 24 nostrils to smell the sweet aromas of the land that God has promised. They were each of a tribe. Each tribe would have a representative so as better to promote good faith and reduce prejudice. Calvin puts this well when he says, God would have each tribe assured by its own witness in order that their report might be the more unquestionable. Well, you know those Naphtalites. We don't believe them, but, oh, the prince of Issachar, that's my man. Well, if he says it. They were the best of the men. We read in verse 2, of every tribe of their father shall you send a man, everyone a ruler among them. And the timing was perfect. The Lord sent them at an opportune time. Verse 20. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. And so God, he just makes the timing perfect. Be ye of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. God would give them a tangible earnest that they could see. Now, before we move to our second point, an aside about spying. God sends these men to search or to spy out the land. Doubtless, they would take on the clothing. Doubtless, they would probably try to avoid any unnecessary contact, but could they have known or practiced some of the language, or at least present themselves perhaps as Semitic foreigners? We don't exactly know, but whatever the case may be, they go in there as spies, as it would eventually be under Joshua to spy out the city. So here they go to spy out the land. Now, we must say that not all spying, espionage, is legitimate. It certainly involves a lot of misleading, sometimes outright lying. These are very difficult and challenging issues. Now, we must say that when there is an aggressor nation that has no legitimate basis for invading or oppressing a people, their espionage is automatically illegitimate across the board. But in warfare, God has ordained that in a just war, where one is an innocent nation, or in this case, where God is taking one nation to bring judgment. This is a very special thing, not something that is repeatable without the express commandment of God, but he's bringing one nation to destroy another that has been sinning against him. And so God himself commands, truth is sacred. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And we may never even so much as mislead. Under any other circumstances than the Lord would place his approval upon. But they do no wrong when men practice what we call subterfuge in a just war. Because those who are guilty and in the wrong have forfeited their rights to know all the truth. Now, we say this with the greatest of care, but we say this because we have to process the reality that we have in Scripture, that God authorizes this activity under these particular circumstances, and God cannot sin. That is not an excuse for us to play fast and loose with the truth. When men deserve the truth, we must speak it and abhor all lying. Well, as an aside in ethics, now we move forward into our second point. A preview unto possession now, probation then, possession. This is a gracious preview. God is giving a gracious preview to his servants through these spies, who would be their eyes and ears, to see what they are going to encounter. But it is also a test. It is a period of probation, a period of testing. Only then can there be possession. Notice here that there is going to be a period of time when they are away. There was a period of time when Moses was away, and was not God testing his people then, and they miserably failed. But here is another period of 40 days. We see that several times in the Bible, don't we? Our Lord Jesus Christ himself was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. And really, it will be at the end of those 40 days that the test and its results will come forth. At this point, it is not yet complete. It is just the beginning. In fact, the Lord, he speaks in somewhat of an open-ended way. See the land, what it is. Observe the people that dwell in them, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. What is the land? I want them to go in and see the land, whether it is good or bad. Very interesting. The Lord speaks in this hypothetical way. What cities they be that dwell in, whether tents or strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. Because clearly, he's testing them. It's perhaps you young people in a science class, you perform a test, a certain experiment. You have to test some material through some process. You devise your hypothesis, your educated guess, but then you have to actually test it and be open-minded enough to see what the actual results will be. Because if you're determined that you know what the results are, that's going to skew the test. Got to be willing for the results not to be what you would hope that they would be. Why does he do this? Well, because the Lord, through these 12 spies, would not only be a stimulus to faith, but a testing of faith. Will they believe whatever the report is? Will they trust the Lord, come what may? We know this. We're going into that land, but we're going to wait the results to come back. And whatever those results will be, we will interpret them in the light of God's word. And that's how it needs to be with you, Christian. Whenever you are going through a test, yes, there's some open-endedness about it. You don't know what the actual results are going to be. You're hoping for something, but God is in absolute control. But we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly, and yet he will put your faith to the test. And you've got to be open to however God brings about His promises in your life. You know the promises. What you don't know is what shape it's going to take. I think we also observe, at least as an aside, that the Lord often tests men by representation. Is that not what He did in Genesis 2? Testing. It could go either way. Will they obey? Will they disobey? And Paul makes that rather clear, that that period of probation resulted in a great tragedy. Tragedy, not because it was God's fault, but because of man's. Probation, then possession. The report would come back, and an accurate presentation would come back, including whatever possible obstacles and challenges. Now, there's a difference, we're going to see this, between objective facts and the interpretation of those facts. Those are two very different things. We'll talk about that more when we look at the responses of Caleb and Joshua on the one hand and the other 10 alternately. They will not see with their eyes, they will hear with their ears. The Lord will give them the report, and until then they must walk. Indeed, they must march. They must fight in faith. Now, as we close, do we not learn, as these things also represent realities under the gospel, that we will get home. We will get to our heavenly country by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Yet, God will give us witnesses along the way to encourage us, to draw us. Can I even say it reverently? To tease us on. Yes, keep coming. You're going the right way. He will save us and secure our place in the heavenly country by faith in chosen eyewitnesses who have gone before us and seen the good land. They have seen God's salvation, very literally, as old Simeon, old gray-headed Simeon, takes up that little baby in his arms and says, "Now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." You never saw that baby. I never did either. But he saw that child, the Christ child. The Holy Spirit told him it would be the case, and sure enough, he held him, he beheld, and he is a witness to us. Especially by the witnesses of the apostles. How many were there? 12. How many heads of the tribes? Spies going into the land, coming back with the report of what they saw? 12. It's not accidental. No, it's the same gospel. It's the same salvation. For them, there was more to touch. For them, there were a lot of figures and symbols and types. But as many as had genuine faith were blessed in Father Abraham in the promise of the seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they eventually did enter into that land, they did enter into God's salvation, which was also a picture, a symbol, and a type of an even better country. That is a heavenly country. He gave his witnesses to us. This is what we see again and again and again the apostles are saying. Acts 2:32. This Jesus God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Acts 3:15. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Acts 10:39 and 41, as they are speaking to Cornelius and his household, we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. And he did not show everyone. Not everyone saw the risen Jesus. But listen, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. Even us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. He is calling you to your home. This is not your home. Stop trying to hold on to it so tight. Sure, try to improve it. Sure, try to minimize the miseries. But here have we no continuing city. We see one to come. And the good news is that we're not flying blind. There have been historical eyewitnesses who saw the salvation of God. The land in the Bible was called the rest of God. Well, Jesus is the rest. And when we come to him, we come and we find perfect peace and rest. And furthermore, he will lead us into that place of green pastures and beside the still waters. And we will be with him in the good land. Just like it was in Eden. Only better. We will get to heaven. We're going to get home by faith, not by sight. And yet the Lord will give us witnesses. He gives the word of the apostles. We have the written word. We have their witness here. Just as we have the witnesses of those spies. We can go back if we ever doubt. We can go back and hear the witnesses. We have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God takes that outward witness of the Word, which is the written witness of eyewitnesses. The Holy Spirit takes that written witness and brings it into our heart. And he bears witness with our spirit. It's beautiful when we see this in the preaching of the apostles. Acts 5:32. We are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost. He gives the witnesses of the sacraments. It may not be a lot. It may not be the grapes of Eshcol, at least to our senses. But it's something that we can see, something that we can touch, something that we can take inside that represents and seals that which was seen on the cross. And by this we proclaim his death till he comes. And what about the cloud of witnesses? How many other witnesses have gone before us in the great hall of faith and the many other believers who have had the witness of the Spirit, who have heard the good news, the report. They didn't see Jesus, but they heard the report and they believed like Caleb and Joshua. And now they've entered into their rest. And they're saying, follow me, even as I follow Christ. And do not disparage faith. Do not disparage faith by thinking of it as a nice wish. That's how this world talks about faith. It's a nice wish. Faith is not a blind leap. It is not a Hail Mary. It is not a hope and a prayer, as they say. It is rooted and anchored in this world and in history. And men and women have seen. And they testify. And they point to us of reality. This country, this heaven is not these plump little cherubs playing their harps. Throw that out of your mind. That deceives you. It makes you think that all of it is a bunch of fairy tales. This is no fairy tale. Jesus and the kingdom of God that he inaugurates and which will one day be perfectly seen, and it will begin when he comes in the clouds. And then every eye will see him. Our faith is a most reasonable, anchored, grounded faith. J. Gresham Machen said, faith need not be too humble or too apologetic before the bar of reason. Christian faith is a thoroughly reasonable thing. It is, as the Epistle to the Hebrews puts it, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Christian, give serious, repeated attention to the witnesses that God gives. Yes, you've got to walk by faith. Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, he's going to try you. Sometimes it will seem as though he's abandoned you. But keep your eyes peeled for the witnesses. Keep your ears open. Listen to that still, small voice amid all the chatter and the nonsense of our godless age. And listen for that still, small voice that says, this is the way. Walk in it. This is the way home. See the land that is before you. See him by faith who is its Lord through those who saw. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And by the way, I got to see him too, as one born out of due time. The good country came to earth. And he walked among us. The The Lord will encourage and test your faith, Christian, before you enter into your promised rest. So beware of a naive faith. Will heaven be taken easily? Strive to enter in. You've got to, in a good sense, leave the possibilities open with God. Lord, I don't know if the cities are going to be great or small, the size of their walls, how big these guys are, how formidable they may be. I'm open-minded to whatever your providence has, but I'm going to believe your promise and I'm going to go forth courageously, but I won't be naive. I've got to take up my cross and follow the Lord. And I close with this admonition: beware of a hypothetical faith. You know, what was uncertain at this point was not the good country. Now, the Lord uses this language because the spies had not yet gone. But did the Lord know the land, whether it was good or bad? Of course he did. The real question is, will we believe? Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Not those who see, but those who believe will enter into that rest. Therefore, make sure that you do not fall short. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Please rise. Oh Lord, how good thou art to give all these witnesses of that good country, of that salvation, of that Savior. Oh, Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. We pray that we would go forth in confidence and bring us home safe and sound through all the trials and temptations. We ask this through thy Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.